On today's episode of Cool Cars with Chris, we are talking all about electric vehicles. You know, EVs as they were, lots of companies have them. I think every single car company now today has got either a bunch of EVs or a few, but they all have some kind of electric vehicle in their lineup. But the real question is, are these actually cool cars to have? Would you be considered cool if you owned an electric vehicle? Well, we are going to find out what it's like to have an electric vehicle. Plus, today, Courage is coming back to the show better than ever, and we're going to discuss the top 10 best-selling EV cars in the United States as of right now, 2025. Let's go. All right, welcome back with Courage himself. Hey, Courage, before I get started, I got to ask you, man, how did you get your name?
Good question. So my dad's from Nigeria. And if you meet anybody, honestly, from Nigeria or any African country, really, they tend to want to instill something in their kids. And really, I'm named after my late uncle, but really, it just really came from that. Like they loved instill. I got a lot of, you know, cousins named Hope and Faith and things like that. So Courage was just what they landed on. And I didn't appreciate it when I was younger, but I appreciate it a lot these days.
What do you mean you didn't appreciate when you're younger? Did people kids like say stuff, or did kind of like, was it kind of brought up in conversation?
Yeah, kids can be cruel, and mine wasn't as bad, but it was only conveniently because I had a show that was named, if you know about that show, Courage the Cowardly Dog. That show was big. It was a cartoon back in the day that was big right around the time I was in elementary school and everything. That was it. Like, I was just Courage the Cowardly Dog this, and you know, they just would make fun of me just because of that. And so that, when I was younger, I just was like, oh goodness, like, why couldn't I just be, you know, Chris or
well, you know, or something, you know, else, yeah, you know? I mean, kids can be cruel, name or no name, really, to tell you the truth.
Really,
you
know? Yeah, that is true.
They can be mean. And I was kind of worried about Courage because I don't think I've ever really heard the name Courage before. Mm-hmm. As a person, maybe as like a boat name.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, like, if they ever meet another Courage, like, we either have to be family or I want to know the person so that we can see, like, you know, what was your family's determination on naming you Courage? But I've never met another Courage outside of, like I said, my uncle. But I think that's really funny that you really don't ever see that as like an actual person's name.
Yeah, when you told me it, I was like, that can't be his name. It must be a nickname for something. That must be like his like show name or like his like, you know, like his radio name or something, you know?
Yeah. I could lean into it that way, though. That just could build a whole persona. But unfortunately, everything else about me is tied to the name. So,
okay, well, there you go. And speaking tied to things, you and your cool cars, man. So today, you want to bring up a topic about EV cars, which I know everything right now. Well, it's kind of paused a little bit now I think about it. But for a hot minute, it seems like everything was going EV all day, every company was leaning heavily into EVs, especially when gas prices, at least around here, hit like $7 or $8 a gallon, you know?
I mean, yeah.
What are your thoughts on EVs?
It's really interesting to me because I think that EVs are interesting in and of themselves. I mean, you know, I share with you, I go to the drag strip, you know, this small drag strip nearby me. And, you know, I see guys that come out and like, they'll bring just like their Model Y, just straight looks like they drove it, you know, off of the Tesla or from Tesla. And they'll come out and just like max the thing down the dragway and beat pretty much everything there, unless it's like some hyper-focused drag car. And the concept of it makes a lot of sense too. I mean, you know, I as much as I love cars, like, you know, I am conscious of, you know, kind of the environmental side of things and, you know, just what it contributes to with, you know, all of, you know, greenhouse gases and things. And I know that, you know, we're moving in that direction, but there's just something that has always kind of been missing with EVs for me. And, you know, even having spent a decent amount of time behind the wheel, you know, I've found my enjoyable parts of them. but I've also found things that just really, just kind of really annoy me and that I'm not ready to deal with.
Let's start with the good before we go to the bad.
Yeah.
So the good side of an EV, you said you're very environmentally conscious, but did you know that they do run off electricity, which probably, it's not here, but I think back east, I think they run off coal plants or probably like burning fossil fuels or some kind to generate electricity. Out here, we got a lot of electricity. We get through like solar and wind. You've got the Palm Springs. You've been out there. I'm sure you've seen all the windmills and all that. So,
And as you know, I work for a renewable energy company that actually installs, man.
Yeah. That's right. Uh-huh. It's right your wheelhouse, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a big thing too, is that I personally work with a lot of battery storage installations. And I personally know that really to make these lithium ion battery packaging, you know, situations take a lot. It takes a lot of energy, and it's actually not the cleanest way of going about, you know, refining materials, which is majority of what these batteries and cars are made of, is like, you know, these lithium components, cobalt, different things like that. Mining for those is not very, you know, environmentally friendly.
Didn't they just find like a big reserve in California somewhere, Salt Lake City, somewhere out that way?
I hadn't heard about that yet. No, but okay. I wouldn't be surprised, but I hadn't heard about that.
Okay. So these batteries in these cars, they're made out of these chemicals or these minerals, like you said, make the battery. And the battery is probably the most important part, but probably the biggest part, heaviest part of the EV vehicle in itself, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
now, weight's a big thing with EVs as well.
Well, think of a regular battery. If you hold a battery for, just a double A battery or whatever, or a C battery, D battery, they're pretty heavy. They got a weight. You put a bunch of those in a sock, you can swing those things around and do some damage. You know what I'm saying? These batteries, are they really hard to make these batteries? I heard they're probably making like really quick processes to make these things pretty quickly, I would think, because they're just because they keep pulling out so many EVs out all the time.
Yeah, they have streamlined it a lot. Tesla actually I think now with their newer cars are actually in-house making their own battery cells and packaging them and then using them in their cars. So the actual process, once they have the materials, to my knowledge, is actually pretty streamlined. It's just really the availability of the materials And honestly, you know, looking down the road, is the recyclability and the reusability is a big issue around them too. Because they can make them pretty easily and package them and get them into these cars. But being able to reuse them, there's just so much that we have to be cognizant of, you know, whether like battery packs have been in impacts or just all in all, if there's been any issues with the cells over their lifespan, you know, they can cause really big issues if they haven't been maintained properly. And recycling is an issue as well. So there's the benefit of they've really kind of, they've refined their way of making them, but their lifespan and then also what they do after is a big question mark, I feel like.
So I wonder how long is a battery good for? Because I know I have my MacBook Pro computer and my iPhone. You can look in the battery settings on your device. It'll tell you like how many charge cycles you have left. And you also can tell like how much like juice you have left. Like I think my MacBook Pro, it's older. It's a 2020 model. And I think it says on the battery level, it says something like it can only go to like 87% of its max capacity because it keeps, I guess the battery depletes itself every time you charge it, if you understand this correctly. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. I only play one on TV, but you know.
Yeah. TV and radio.
Yes. Yeah. But is that how it works with the battery? They kind of like each time you use it, it kind of depletes itself, a cycle.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're spot on with that. Batteries really are kind of rated almost in like, you know, cycles kind of situation. Like, you know, EV cars particularly are, you know, rated to kind of go through a heavy amount of cycles because obviously you're going to be using the car over and over again and you're going to get to points where you got to recharge. And in the renewable space, like the utility scale space, you know, that's a little different. Like, you know, the batteries that we install that go along these solar fields might only have, you know, you can only cycle through those in a day. Like if you were
to replace those every day?
No, like in terms of like what is rated to basically keep its capacity for a certain amount of time. you can only kind of go through a full cycle of the battery in one day. So like if you had a situation where the battery system got depleted more than, you know, if it got depleted twice in a day, by then charging the batteries up back to full capacity twice in a day, you're technically halving the battery lifespan of the battery. It's, and not to get too nerdy, but it's a inherent issue that, like, if you overcycle a battery, it's gonna lose its capacity to now kind of produce the same power over a long period of time. Interesting. Yeah, with EVs, it's like that as well. Of, you know, you, I think they've started to work around this a little bit more, but like there's recommendations from, like, say the older Teslas, where you aren't supposed to actually like fully charge the battery to 100%, quote unquote. You're actually supposed to keep the battery in a range of 20% to 80% to now basically maximize the longevity of the battery. You know, by fully charging the battery, which is the weirdest thing to think about. Like, you'd think, like, I want to use the maximum capacity of this battery. But a lot of cars have limits on there to preserve their longevity, to say, like, don't overcharge your batteries. You know, you're charge them to 80 or 85%. Let them degrade. Try not to let them get down to, like, the 10s or, like, the 5%, because that's also really bad for batteries. And keep them in that range. But you have some people that just ignore that and they charge it fully. They, you know, they'll be the ones that, like, same as if you're in your car and you're like, you know, you're on E, but you're like, I got 50 miles of range left. I know what my reserve tank's going to do. Like, there's people that'll do that with their EVs, and that's killing the range overall. Like, that's killing the longevity of the battery.
How long is an EV? And I mean, are they all, I'm assuming they're all different, of course. I'm sure different cars, different EV cars have different size batteries, right? So, yeah. Like the one on, say, the F-150 Lightning is way bigger than, I'm assuming, the one on the, the Model 3, maybe?
Tesla? One of those, yeah. Or yeah, the smaller. Most massive one, probably the record is probably the Hummer EV or something. It's probably got one of the largest, like, battery packs out there. But yeah, I think you're pretty spot on with that. Like, different, and different
that F-150,
sizing.
For example, it brags that you can actually reverse the charge flow. So you can actually take it and plug it to your house. And yeah. You can plug your house and run your house off your truck, which is kind of funny, because say you're in a town with a blackout. Tornado comes in, blacks out your town, you got no power, no whatever. Oh, that's cool. I'll just plug in my Lightning into my house and I can play the internet or whatever you want to do, right? And then All of a sudden, wait, hey, honey, we need to go get supplies. We're out of stuff. Oh, let me fire up my truck. Oh, wait a second. You remember those 3 days you were playing Fortnite?
Was it worth it?
Right, we have no more juice. So that's kind of a drawback. It's kind of a cool concept, but like with anything, even if it's gas or whatever too, because even if you have a gas vehicle and you somehow can run a generator off your gas vehicle, because my truck has got those plugs in it too. I have two of the three-prong plugs, one on the front, one in the back seat. So I can plug in, I think it's 120 volt maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not an electrician.
But if you can run like standard electrical, like, you know, powers, then yeah, most likely it's probably a 120, I would think.
I think it says right on the little thing. I forget what it says on there, but I've only used it for like a computer charger, really. It's the only thing I've really used it for. But I don't think we're in like a refrigerator or anything like that. But I do have an option. I guess I could probably run, because it does have a converter under the back of the back seat. There's like a little power inverter. And it says right there, power inverter on the thing. So this converts power into the proper electricity. So you can run bigger gadgets and gear. I know the Lightning, Ford Lightning can do that. It's kind of designed for that kind of stuff. But I guess in theory, like I could run out of gas running electricity, which would be the same difference as having a Lightning running out of electricity, powering the house. Now you can't go anywhere because you ran all your juice up, you know, powering your, you know, TVs and stuff. So it's kind of the same.
Not to change this. Sorry to cut you off. Yeah, not to change the subject, but I think like range comes into play too, with just range in general of like when you're like this point you're bringing up is you ever heard the term range anxiety when it comes to EVs?
Yeah, I would probably have that if I bought an EV, to tell you the truth. That'd be the first thing I would do. Second that I left the dealership lot, the range anxiety would just kick in.
Well, that's this is a maybe a good story for you is I rented a Tesla to go out to Reno, Nevada, from here in Temecula. We rented it from Sacramento area. And so we drove up through Tahoe, where you can kind of bypass Tahoe going to Reno, but we like to go up because it's just a beautiful drive going up, and we like to spend a little time in Lake Tahoe. And so we rented a Tesla to go up there. And I was super excited. I mean, and this is where I can kind of slide in the pros of EVs is that.
Okay, what you got?
I mean, they're just quick.
Oh, it's almost kind of like a joke when you see a Tesla on the drag strip going up against anything else.
Yeah.
Any EV, really. It doesn't have to be a Tesla. It can be anything. It can be the little Nissan thing or whatever they got.
Yeah.
Those things are fast too. I was at the auto show and they were giving us test drives in those. And It's right there. Yeah. It's instant. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So I don't think it's a fair battle at all. But they are very, very, very quick. And I think everybody who owns one, that's like the first thing you got to show off. Punch it. Because I've been in one and the guy did the same thing. He punched it and then threw me back in the seat and the whole thing. And I think he had a Tesla 3.
That's the party trick. Yeah. And I had so much fun with that. And in the short amount of time I had it, like, it didn't get old to me. Like, a lot of people say once you've owned it for a while, like, you get over that. But, in the 2 or 3 days we had it, I was having fun with that all the time. But, super fast, super quiet for the most part. Some EVs kind of struggle. Newer ones don't really struggle as much, but some of them struggle with a little bit of sound deadening because you don't really have, you don't really have anything, any noise from the engine or anything. So they really have to be well isolated from like the road when you're on like long highway drives. But all in all, like, it was comfortable. It was fast. Even when it came to back road driving, when we were going up to Lake Tahoe, it was actually pretty fun too, because a lot of them have this like one pedal drive feature where when you let off of the accelerator, it'll basically engage like the electric motors to work in reverse. The car is braking on its own power.
That threw me off when I drove the Tesla.
It's a little weird.
The guy warned me about it and I was like, okay, well, I've driven a bunch of different cars. How different is this? But it kind of reminded me of I'm trying to think of something I've driven like that before. And maybe some forklift I drove or some kind of equipment I drove that did something similar to that. Cause it feels very similar to that.
Where
you let go of the throttle, it started braking immediately. And like, that just seems weird. It's really weird for me to do. I only drove like a block. And
you can take, you in the EVs, like, you can, a lot of times you can turn it off. Like, you can set some of them. You can actually set, sometimes you can set how much it engages versus like, or maybe going completely off or like going to a certain middle level. But it is a weird feeling. But I tell you, like, on a back road, it's like, it's super fun because you can, like, a lot of times when I'm driving like a fun car on the back road, like, you're maybe needing to know exactly what gear you're in or downshifting so that you don't either go in too low and the car is kind of lobbing its way through the corner. Or if you go in too high, like, you're basically slowing yourself down too much going around the corner. And so it's just kind of a weird feel overall. With that 1 foot braking, like, you go into a corner and you let off, you let the car kind of slow down, and then you find like where the moment is where you want to start accelerating again, and then you just shoot out of the corner. So
now I wonder how planted those EVs are with the battery pack sitting, like, all the weight sitting there on the floorboard, like sitting there, like, all the weight's probably spread across. It's not like a car where the engine's heavier or the tank or whatever kind of thing.
Yeah. That's actually a huge benefit. That because of it being like all of that weight being so low down, because I think that's probably one of the biggest design challenges of EVs overall, in my opinion, at least, is how do you bring all of that weight to a certain like kind of centralized location, but also, lower down in the car. So I actually felt like it really was, like, at least the Model 3 that I was in was actually really planted. Like, it is heavy, so you can get into a situation where you get a good amount of understeer if you were go into a corner kind of with the wrong angle. But it still feels planted. Like, it's because it's a heavy car. I think that sort of works in its favor a little bit. because you're going in corners with a little bit more confidence, knowing like this thing is grounded. Like I feel like I'm, you know, it's gonna be on rails per se. And then you got the benefit of shooting out the corner afterwards with all of that torque. That it's like, you know, it's somewhat of a perfect experience in that sense. But you just, and I'll save this portion of it for the cons, but, what I was really wanting to bring up with that was that I had a lot of fun driving up there with, you know, some of these back rows and everything, but the range anxiety really kicked in at a certain point when we were, there's a certain point between, like Sacramento area and Lake Tahoe where there's no EV charging stations.
No way. So now you can tell the on the screen, it tells you where your next charging point is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, so we were paying attention to that, and basically there's a gap of probably like 30 to 40 ish miles or so where there's
nothing.
What do you
mean by a gap? Like a gap
of like, yeah, and like stations. So like places where you could stop and charge the car.
Oh, essentially. I think like a gap in like actual like range. Cause I know in your regular car, it'll tell you like you have 500 miles left on the tank, but it's really closer to maybe 400 or whatever, depending how you drive. Does it fluctuate like that when you drive?
It's pretty accurate to that too. Like, yeah, if you were like really grandma driving it, no offense to grandmas, but if you were grandma driving it, you could extend the range there, you know, more so than if you were really kind of trying to have fun with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was more so of just like, you know, it's really cool in the Tesla, at least how it maps out where you're going and then lets you know if you need to stop in order to get to your destination, then it'll tell you like you have to charge at this point. You have to charge at this point to get there, and then, you know, then charge there, and then you have enough range to get to where you're going at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's the thing that would screw me up too, is the whole charging thing. Figure out mapping, like you really have to map out your trip, especially a far one. Like to run around town, like you charge at your house, you go to work, back and forth, whatever, you know, no big deal. But I think you have to know, like, I guess same thing for
a long road trip or like a long drive. It's less too. Like, I mean, you know, like I said, the app does a lot for you to like plan out where you would need to stop to get to like get the range you need. But it's a timing thing too. Like if you needed to get somewhere in a certain amount of time, but you didn't account for the fact that you might have to stop for 30 or 40 minutes to charge the car.
Yeah.
You're going to be late. Like there's just nothing you can do about it.
And you gotta plan. You know, I'm a horrible planner. I'm a horrible planner, dude. I just like to go.
I'm a little bit like that too. And I say really like, you know, it's an issue that could be fixed when we really have the charging network to really support the EV cars like we have gas stations. Like when they're somewhat as abundant as that. Yeah.
Well, make them quicker too. Like make them figure ways.
And quicker. Yeah, 100%.
Because sitting around for 30 minutes or whatever. You know, one thing that I would love to invent, but I'm not a scientist. I know you're in the solar business and the renewable energy business, is that they can design a really cool looking like hood panel or roof panel that's completely clean, but solar, you know, panels of some sort, and it can just charge and go, charge and go. Yeah. That would be my dream. Like charge to full, like not like a little trickle charge. I'm talking like full charge.
We need,
And then that way can you imagine driving cross country in your new whatever car? We'll call it the Chris car, just because I patented it. And it's got solar panels that look like the hood. You can't tell the difference. And it charges while you go, just like any solar panel would for your house. That would be the dream.
I mean, and there's cars that have kind of partial integration of that, but yeah, it's nowhere near the fact like it may extend the range, but it's not charging you up to.
Speaking of extending the ranges on a EV, what about those range extenders? Some cars have it.
I don't know a lot about those.
The way I understand it is the way it works like this is that you have your standard, you know, battery pack, the charger, whatever. There is a gas tank. It's super small. It can't be very big. It's very small because all it does power is it powers a generator. Generator, which, you know, theoretically charges the battery. So it runs it.
Yeah.
It just extends it a little bit. There's a new EV coming out that I really like by Scout. It's the off-road company. They're coming back with EV models, and they have a range extender on their models. Now, the EV for Scout has not been released yet. They have like concept cars, things like that. I think it's coming out maybe next year or the year after that. and they had a range extender. I think Mercedes or one of the luxury brand for their EV has a range extender also. And it's kind of a nice little way to kind of blend both together. So you can, that range anxiety, you can really kind of cure that with like topping off your 10-gallon tank or whatever. Yeah. You know, you can go the extra maybe 30, 40, 50, maybe it's 100 miles. I don't really know. But you can go further, you know, using that extender, which was I would probably want to get if I was getting an EV, especially if I traveled far. If I didn't travel far, I probably wouldn't care. But if I was traveling, like you were saying, like to Vegas or wherever, that's the one thing about my truck, and even my older truck, I could go to Vegas in one full tank, you know, and get gas and head back.
Well, and that's, to be honest, that, and now when you explained it, it made me kind of go back to realizing that, like, I mean, that's how essentially like the Prius and some of these like kind of hybrid systems for cars work now, where you do have like the other side of hybrids where the engine is still engaged to the drive wheels and they work in tandem with an electric motor. But like the Prius has always been more on the camp of you have a sort of a gas motor that is never really actually driving the car. It's basically just kicking in to give the electric motor and the batteries more juice when it's needed. And I think there are some more cars now that do that as well. But to your point is now, like we've gotten to that point where we've refined that technology so much more. And not to completely derail the topic, but I personally think hybrids are just where it's at. Like I as a car enthusiast as well, like, I mean, it's just the perfect way to keep what we love about cars, which is, you know, to sound as primitive as possible. We love the motor. We love the engine. We love like the characteristic that gives cars. And pairing that with EVs and having them work alongside each other to now kind of boost the performance of the gas motors is where I think, you know, again, I think that companies really can lean more into that overall.
Well, what do you think of is it the Dodge Challenger EV that had like a motor sound it produced out of the EV? Hear about that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard somebody actually got a sound ticket for being an exhaust too loud for an electric vehicle.
He boosted those speakers up.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's funny? I always thought about this a while ago. I thought about if you could have, say, a Tesla or whatever and figure out a way to like have like a real like raw V8 sound playing through the system and like be at a red light next to somebody and just like have that V8 rumble. He looks over and it's a Tesla. He's like, whatever. It's
just something,
But one thing also,
I wouldn't be surprised,
Well, one thing that really pissed me off about Teslas is that, well, I guess EVs too, is that, what about the gas station? This always pisses me off, is when a Tesla parks at a pump just to go in and get whatever they want to get. But you're not getting gas. Get out of here. Get out of here with that thing. You know, like go to, you don't see us parking at your little Tesla spots.
Yeah.
With my car. So
let's have mutual respect. Is basically what you're saying. Yeah. Like we won't park at your,
it's the same as parking at a handicap spot.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I feel, I see it happen all the time at the stations all the time. I see it all the time. And some people are like, I don't care, whatever, you know. But if it's a busy station where people are like waiting to get gas or whatever, and they're parked there, it happens a lot. I see it a lot. And you can't get away with it. Some cars might look like, because some cars have like their gas comparative, you know, versions or whatever. The Teslas are all electric. You can't say there's a gas version of that, you know. So if it's a Tesla parked in the gas pump, you know, it's not getting gas.
It's not there.
Yeah.
But I do have an overall theory with this question that I feel like is the reason why car enthusiasts don't like EVs. But I want to see if there's anything else that you want to share on either pros and cons about just your thoughts on EVs before I get into that.
On EVs here, I no hate for them. I think they're great. They're fantastic. Some of them look pretty cool. Some of them are very basic, plain Jane. They're cars, you know, I mean, they're just basic cars, what they are. And they are very quick. They're very fast. I get that. They got that cool factor for being quick and fast. From the electric motor, all the torque right there, hit it, punch it, you're good, you're gone. I get all that. The things I don't like about the EVs is the flexibility to be able to like go anywhere, travel anywhere, get gas anywhere, do whatever you want to do anywhere. It's like there's some kind of like, there's some freedoms that you don't really think about. You give up when you have an EV.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think having, people don't seem to realize that. It's nothing to do with political, nothing like that. It just has the fact that like, you have to go find the different charging points. You have to sit there and wait to charge it. Probably wait in line to charge it. You can't just get gas anywhere like you can with a regular, you know, gas powered car. And so for those reasons, the range anxiety, I guess, is kind of like, I don't know, but if they can then somehow invent that super cool solar panel, like charge as you go system, I'm all down. I'll buy one today.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
no, I mean, I think you're spot on. Like, you know, you are compromising in a way that's different from how we've had to compromise in the past to, you know, kind of go full EV life, you know. And I guess really if you're in like, you know, a densely populated town and you're not driving very far, you know, you're just doing like a, you know, quick, you know, 20 minute commute, you know, 10, 15 mile commute. Like you can, you know, an EV probably is a good solution for you at that point. But like for really like committing to like a longer commute or longer just travel in general, it's a bit of a change that I think a lot of us just aren't ready for. And, you know, the infrastructure isn't quite there as well. Like, I mean, we talked about the grid and things like that. I mean, the demands on, you know, say if everybody were to have EVs, I hate using that argument because it kind of puts us in that bucket where like, oh, well, you know, it's never going to change. Like, we know it is. Like, we're finding ways to increase the capacity of our grid all the time. But right now, it's a huge demand on the grid to charge these EV cars.
And during the summer, if everybody's running their AC, I'm sure it's hot at your place.
And charging their EV at the same time. Like,
right. So, but hey, Courage, I have the 10 best-selling EVs of 2025 so far this year in the United Ooh. States.
Yeah.
Would you like me to run down this list for you?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay. Yeah. So the number, starting number 10, it is the Chevrolet Blazer EV. Now, okay. I know that Chevrolet Blazer does make a regular Blazer. And so this must be like their EV version of it, which I think it's kind of I wonder from like a factory component wise, if it's just super easy to just like make an EV version of the same car you already have, or is it like a whole new like assembly line? I don't know. I don't work there. I don't know how this stuff works, but I'm guessing with some of these, they seem like they just seem like an EV version, super easy to do. Maybe they have
that'd be a good question for Jim Farley when he comes on the podcast.
I'm getting him booked right now, going through his agent, his people, his call my people, that kind of a thing. Okay, moving on to number 9, hate it or love it, but it's everyone's like ugliest truck on the road today. The Tesla Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I'll say one thing about the Cybertruck. It, no matter, I mean, whether you think it looks good or bad, it is one of the most, just like, you know instantly when a Cybertruck's coming up, either day or night.
The front lights, back lights, whatever.
Yeah, like that. And I think that's a really cool thing to do in this day and age where you can have a car that's like instantly recognizable by non-car people and car people alike. So that's the biggest thing I think the Cybertruck has going for it is it's just so unique.
Right. It looks like, I mean, I always thought it looked kind of cool, but I guess I was kind of in the minority with that. But I think it looked kind of cool from like unique perspective, like you're saying. It's different. It's not like anything else out there. It's not trying to copy any other kind of style or brand. And I heard it drives fairly well. Like it's got these... what is it, like rear wheel steering or steering by wire? Something to do with the steering.
Yeah. To where both of those, I think.
It turns like a little car. Like even though it's big, it turns like a little car or whatever. So moving on to number 8, and that is Volkswagen. This is a Volkswagen ID.4. Now, I'm not too familiar with the ID.4, but it looks like a typical like little cute little Volkswagen thing. It looks like what you expect. It's like a little small compact car. It's like a mini hatchback. It looks like a mini hatchback. It's got the four doors, maybe a little like hatchback, and the thing that pops up gives you a mini trunk area. You know, it's cute. Yeah. It's whatever. You know, I get it. It's probably fine. You know, I mean, so moving on to number 7, which is the only EV I actually considered buying when I first heard it was launched, and that is the Ford F-150 Lightning.
Yeah, Because I can see that.
Because it's exactly what I already have. So it's like, it's like here, because I already went from another F-150, which was exactly like the new F-150 I have. And this would be another F-150. Just it'd be very, very comfortable, like size and like dimensions and kind of, I'd be already kind of used to it, I guess, so to speak. I wouldn't have to like learn the dimensions and the size and learn where all the different knickknacks and stuff on the car are. Which would kind of be a natural transition. So that's number seven. So moving on to number six, we got Honda Prelude.
Oh, yeah. Well, because the Prelude is actually a thing coming soon.
But yeah, that's a hybrid. I think this is just an EV list. So this is just probably straight EV only, like battery powered, and that's it. So that is number six. It looks very similar to the Volkswagen, like in the size, like it's a four-door car. This little back section for like your groceries or whatever pops up. Standard car. It kind of reminds me of like, there was a time when SUVs kind of became like more like miniature SUVs where they weren't like big and tall. They were like smaller and like kind of like extended cars a little bit. And this kind of reminds me of that model. It says here that its luxurious brother is the Acura ZDX, which was discontinued. So Honda and Acura, of course, the same company, that kind of thing, share a lot of parts, that kind of deal. So moving on to number five, we're in your zone. We're in the Hyundai. Is it Equinox?
The Ioniq.
Ioniq? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which one did they choose? Was it the Ioniq 5?
Five. Now this is based on units sold so far this year. So in fifth place is that Honda. It looks like the other one, but this has a little more of a chiseled design. It's kind of like the fenders and the side lines look a little more squared and chiseled off versus like some of the other ones. So it kind of reminds me like if they wanted like more of a mellower version of the Tesla truck in an SUV. The way they chiseled it.
Because it still does have a little bit of that retro-ish kind of look, like with the lights and things.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Like the square lights. Uh-huh. And they actually have an N version of that car, too, if you know.
Now, is it not an N version of the EV version, is it?
No. So, it's a full EV N car, the Ioniq 5N.
So, it probably just has, like, the brakes and the package and the spoiler and the splitter and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't have, like, any motor, then. It's just the EV.
So, no motor, suspension upgrades for sure, brake upgrades. It has, and not to derail this, but it has simulated gear shifting and like, engine sounds and things. We could probably do a whole podcast on just the quirks of that car, but they EV or Hyundai kind of has like their electric EV line, and then they have really the only car that's left from their regular EV or their regular N line is the Elantra N. But they have two sided camps that they're playing with, this like performance EV side and then their gas powered like N cars. That car is pretty interesting. I've never driven one and I really, really want to, but I've never driven one before.
Well, I can imagine they probably run like a bunch of the smaller compact. Well, no, I'm not talking the N version. I'm talking like the regular electric version. They probably run very similar to a lot of the other smaller compact electric cars. So moving on to number four, we have the Ford Mustang Mach-E, which is kind of funny because
that car, man.
it's a Mustang. It says it's a Mustang, but is it really a Mustang? Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah.
You know, it says it was. And I remember when they were bringing this car out and people were losing their minds. They were losing their freaking minds thinking that the Mustang itself was going to be gone. And it's going to be turned into this like abomination, like hybrid, like this electric thing. Just like they did with the stupid Mitsubishi Eclipse. It became an SUV. They got rid of the Eclipse, so they thought the same thing's
happening.
That's
like, I think that's like the perfect like who did it better type scenario between like how Mitsubishi did that with the Eclipse and how Ford did that with the Mustang Mach-E. Because I feel like people love the Mach-E, and people that I did not think would love the Mach-E, and I guess to your point though, they're still happy that we still have a real Mustang.
Imagine if they got rid of that thing. Oh my gosh, you'd be like...
It would be a different story. And I think that's maybe part of it is that, yes, they used the Mustang name, but they still kept us with like what we know as a Mustang. You know, Mitsubishi, on the other hand, was like, yeah, we can just like do this and change this all up. And now it's an EV. And like, nobody was really about that at the end of the day.
Right. So it's selling pretty good because it's the fourth best seller of all the EVs in the United States this year so far. So yeah. Top three, here we go. Number three, back to Chevrolet, the Chevrolet Equinox EV, which looks like another like Blazer. It looks like to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look at it. It looks like a Blazer. Maybe it's bigger. Maybe it's smaller. I can't tell. Nothing to compare it to. But it looks like your typical like SUV kind of. But it looks more like a road SUV. There's like off-road SUVs like the Bronco or whatever. And then you got this thing, which looks a little bit more like your standard, like, I don't want to get a minivan, so I'll get this kind of EV. Is what it
That's
is.
That's the one thing with it, with Chevy's EVs early. And just to correct, I threw that Jim Farley plug in there when we were talking about a Chevy EV. And just for folks to know, I know that Jim Farley is Ford and Chevy's got something else going on. But yeah, I think that's been Chevy's issue that a lot of people have said is that they like the Blazer could have easily been a great competitor to like a Bronco or like some of that more off-roady type.
Yeah, but EV, they went more in that urban, like street, like soccer mom, urban, I guess, kind of flavor with their SUVs. And I think the same thing with Hyundai too. I don't think Hyundai has a really like rear-wheel drive SUV, do they?
No. I'm waiting on that body-on-frame thing we talked about last time around.
Maybe someday. Maybe they'll get an engine in that thing, not another electric motor.
Yeah, let's cross fingers on something that. I'll take a hybrid. Like,
what's something bigger than four cylinders, all right? Come on now.
Hey, don't brag on the four cylinders, man.
No, they're fine. My ex-wife, her Explorer had the 2.3-liter EcoBoost in her Explorer.
Trust me, I'm literally on the same camp. Like, as much as I love four cylinders, like, I don't like either, or what's it called? SUVs need something bigger. Like that I'm on that camp because the Santa Fe they have a hybrid version of that, and it has a four cylinder, and then it has it has this EV component as well, and it has a DCT on top of that, which is even pretty interesting. But when you're driving it, you just feel like this just doesn't vibe well. Like you want like at least a V6. Like you get kind of a characteristic SUV groan when you get like a six cylinder. Obviously a V8 is like where it's at, but I'm with you on the sense where like I respect four cylinder engines and what we've been able to do with them, but there's just certain cars that they just don't fit well in. And SUVs to me, that's one of them where they just don't fit very well.
So on EVs here, would you like to guess the top two? Ooh. What company have you not mentioned so far?
Yeah.
Well, mention once.
There's an obvious elephant in the room. As we haven't I guess we did. We did mention Tesla already.
Yes, Tesla. They own number one and number two.
And now, number two.
Yeah. Would you like to guess which one is in which spot?
I would, actually. So I'm guessing just with our economy and with people being so much into crossovers, SUVs, that the Model Y would be top. And the three would be second.
That is correct. Did you see this list? I think you saw this list.
I did. No, I did try to cheat a little bit, but I'd got distracted. But no, that was a pure guess.
That's what it is right there. Model Y number one and Model 3 number two. And according to their numbers, the Model Y estimated has sold so far 232,000 units.
As of like as this model year, essentially,
that's what they're saying. But I don't. It seems like a lot though, because I know the F-150 made a big deal when they cracked out like 700,000 or a million or whatever units for a single year. So 232,000 units of a single car that's electric by a single company that only makes electric. Sounds impressive.
No, they're people. Those things fly like hotcakes. And I do actually like the look of the Model Ys and the Model 3 as well. Like I've seen a couple of people that have done like slight little changes. Kept the stock wheels. Like I do say that like the upper like trim wheels are like the best option. Like the base model wheels look really funny to me. But I've seen them with like certain wraps and like, maybe like certain light little displays.
I've seen it with wheels and I've seen them with wings and I've seen them with like splitters on the bottom.
I think that's going a little too far sometimes, but
fake exhaust tips on the back. Just kidding. No. Not seen like that. That would be too much. I think when you see the fake exhaust tips on the back of a Tesla, I think you've gone a little too far. I draw the line somewhere,
Yeah.
Well, this has been so much fun, man. I really appreciate you stopping by today and talking all about EVs. And go charge it up, man. Speaking of the chargers lost today. But yeah. It's okay. It's oh, all no. good.
we're supposed to leave on a high note. We left on a low note on that. Well, but well, we got a next one.
Until next time, we will see you guys later.